Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. How much suffering do the Yemeni people have to endure after more than 4 years since the start of a Saudi-led war against the Yemeni people, which has caused tens of thousands of casualties? And now the Saudis and its partner in crime, the UAE, are now fighting each other. Saudi-backed troops are now clashing with their Emirati cohorts in Aden, a city filled with civilians who continue to suffer at the hands of the Saudi regime's war against the Yemeni people. Stay with us as we take a look at the latest in this war on the Yemeni people.
The Saudi-led camp waging a devastating war in Yemen has been running into serious problems. It has been under mounting pressure for failing to achieve its goals and also because of escalating retaliatory attacks carried out by Yemeni fighters. The war has not gone the way the Saudis and allied Emiratis had planned before the start of the campaign in March 2015. Now things are getting worse for the aggressors as signs of a widening rift between them are emerging. This week, Yemen's port city of Aden was rocked by heavy clashes between Emirati-backed separatists and Saudi-backed militants who support former President Abd Rabbah Mansour Hadi. The two groups, which are heavily armed and funded by the UAE and Saudi Arabia to fight Ansarullah fighters, instead have turned on each other. The two groups have been vying for influence and control in many areas. The separatists seek independence, while the other militants, supported by Riyadh, want to bring Hadi back to power. The two sides pursue rival agendas for Yemen's future and have long had their differences and skirmishes, but the bloody confrontation this week is considered a major escalation. The latest infighting could be opening a whole new front in the war. It could also further sour already tense ties between Saudi Arabia and the UAE. The two Persian Gulf states have been at loggerheads over the future direction of the military campaign, and this latest episode could make things much worse. Can they overcome their differences, or will their conflict of interests spiral out of control?
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, political commentator Brian Downing out of Fort Myers, Florida, and author and Middle East expert Saeed Shaheth out of Belfast. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Fort Myers. And Brian, so your take on this, what is the main reason why these two allies in Yemen are now clashing?
Well, I think because, as the presenter said a minute ago, the war has been dragging on for 4 years. Neither side can win. The northern Houthis drove south and came close to Aden, but they were in Sunni territory and they lost a lot of momentum and fell back. Ever since then, the war has been stalemated, and the siege of the port of Hodeidah has gone nowhere. And I think there you see debates beginning between United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. Who wants to do what? The Emiratis, as I understand it, are amenable to partitioning the country between a northern Shia region and a southern Sunni region. This is unacceptable to Saudi Arabia, and I think that is the nub of the dispute, the issue of what you do with this war. The reason the Saudis don't want to do it, I have to look at Mohammed bin Salman, a figure who is ruthless, power-hungry, and just wants to dominate the region. And he's not going to do that, and he doesn't think, if he can't dominate Yemen. And I think there's also an element of religious hatred in there, that he just loathes the idea of an independent Shia region so close to Saudi Arabia. Now, these, as an American realist, from an American realist perspective, I don't really see these as compelling reasons why the United States should be involved in this conflict. The United States should probably work with the Emiratis and seek some sort of partition along that north-south divide. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is about the third civil war in Yemen in the last 40, 50 years. And to give you an idea of how opportunistic and transitory things are, there was a time when the Saudis were backing the Shia North. That was back when Egypt had a lot of influence in the South and was favoring a secular, anti-monarchical form of government. Well, these aren't really things the United States should be involved in.
Okay. Saab, your take on all this. How do you evaluate what is going on right now between these so-called allies inside of Yemen now?
I just want to comment on your guest's remarks about the United States of America should be involved in this and encouraging that. This war in Yemen is started, I think, from the 1962, when the Yemenis were trying to gain independence from the British Empire and occupation. And we discovered in the 1996 from an Israeli general, memoirs, bragging about how Israel used to draw weapons and armed cash to the anti-revolutionary committees in the north, fighting the people who's resisting and want to impose the republic against the monarch at the time. So the United States of America, Israel, and Saudi Arabia been at this game from the 60s. And what's happening today, when you see the alliance between Saudi Arabia and Yemeni, these are fighting each other because the resistance of the Yemeni army and the Salah pushed the Saudis' war to a stalemate. And we can notice that the Yemeni forces developed their indigenous weapons and deployed it successfully, reached oil platforms for Aramco in Saudi Arabia and even in Abu Dhabi. And they reached the ports of Saudi Arabia and paralyzed them, and as well in Abu Dhabi. Two months ago, on the 20th of June exactly, the United Arab Emirates Supreme Council, this council consists of the seven emirates who form the Federal United Arab Emirates, had a meeting, and in it, Mohammed bin Rashid, put his views to the dangerous path Abu Dhabi leading them in the Yemeni war. And they wanted specifically to pull out of this war because it's an unwinnable war, they declared there. And they said, as in that meeting, which was leaked by a Turkish news agency, Anatolia, they said one rocket from the Yemenis landing in Dubai will push all the investors out and will destroy the tourism in there. So we are very fragile to that war. And this is after it. The United Arab Emirates declared its plans to get out of Yemen and to push to pull its forces out of Yemen. But at the same time, the United Arab Emirates they occupied and annexed some of the strategic.
Let me just jump in here, Saab. Why would that be the case? On the one hand, the Emiratis said that they wanted to leave. On the other hand, they're trying to occupy more area. It seems contradictory. So your take on that?
The United Arab Emirates want to secure the gains they got, especially in Socotra and especially in the waterways and the controlling. Any area where there's a port in it, you'll see the United Arab Emirates is working active in there or its proxies. They have 90,000 militants trained in Yemen to preserve its own interest. With this interest, they want to destroy Aden. They don't want this port ever to be activated to compete with Dubai or Fujairah port. They want to keep encourage the South to split from the North and to finance that war.
Stay with me, Saab. Let me get Brian back in on this discussion. Your take on all this, do you see the Emiratis actually trying to distance themselves more from Saudi Arabia? Is that part of the reason why they said that they would downgrade? And then how do you analyze this current clash then between the two?
Well, I think the GCC has come under the control of the Saudis. And that's a bad thing. 15, 20 years ago, there was some sort of balancing act that some of the GCC states played, that they were intermediaries between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and they tried to keep the neighborhood a little calm. That hasn't been the case in the last few years. The GCC has come pretty much under the thumb of Saudi Arabia, and specifically under Mohammed bin Salman's thumb. And I think there's a lot of resentment about that in many parts of the world, perhaps especially in the Emirates, which don't want to become a Saudi colony the way say, Bahrain is, the way, say, to some extent, Egypt is, to some extent, you know, some of the others. Look at what they're trying to crush Qatar. So it's sort of a move away from Saudi dominance, which I think is a very smart move from the American perspective. It's not clear that's...
Well, you say let me just jump in here, Brian. You say it's a smart move from the American perspective, the move by the Emiratis away from Saudi Arabia, and yet there's no greater supporter of the Saudi regime than the United States. So exactly what does that mean?
Well, I mean from American strategic interests, not necessarily the same way that Donald Trump, Michael Pompeo, and John Bolton assess the situation. These are ideologues. They are the remnants of the neoconservatives, the people who promised us democracy and reform in Afghanistan like that, and the same thing in Iraq. I don't want to buy another war from these people. They don't know what they're doing. They're amateurs, they're ideologues, and the more realistic perspective, which I'm advancing and several other people are advancing, is the one the United States should follow. It's not going to happen in the next few months or next few years, but it could happen. Geopolitics is a long game.
Well, Saeb, how significant is it that these two entities, which actually united in its attempt to crush the Yemeni people, have not only not been able to do that, but now are actually fighting each other?
Just let me clarify one thing. People think the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia are real sovereign states and countries. Those people, they are run by multinational companies who control the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. Aramco, an American-Saudi partnership, controls Saudi Arabia and many multinationals as well. Emirates as well, the same thing. Emirates become more prominent after Hong Kong being annexed to China, and most of the multinational companies moved to Dubai and these areas. So we're talking about international companies, multinationals, are fighting for their interests in the area. And they have these guys from the forming of the second or the third Saudi kingdom till forming of the United Arab Emirates in 1970 as just puppets being assigned by foreign companies according to their interests. This is we have to be clear about this point. So what Mohammed bin Salman or Mohammed bin Zayed do is according to the business agenda dictated by the United States of America's multinationals or British multinationals or collective. So that's what we see in the United Arab Emirates or in there. These guys, when we see the United Arab Emirates acting like little Sparta, having ports all over the Red Sea and that, it's part of controlling the waterways and squeezing Iran. And when we see the interest of Saudi Arabia in Yemen, today it's focusing its forces going toward Hadramaut to fill what the Emiratis left from areas in there, because the Saudis and Aramco see itself a pipeline from Aramco through Hadramaut can reach the Arabian Sea. So that will eliminate the need for the Bab al-Mandeb or the other waterways near Iran. So this means the energy will reach its target. Whatever conflict in there, Israel is involved, the United States of America is involved, whatever, business is going to keep going. This is how they see the whole thing. These kind of tribal battles in here and there, all financed to keep the scenario is going according to these multinational companies.
So basically, Saeb, you are saying that the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, neither country really has any sovereignty, that it's actually the multinationals that run the show, correct?
Yes, correct. Saudi Arabia is oil platforms and military bases. The same thing in United Arab Emirates.
Okay, let me get Brian's perspective on that. Brian, what do you think about Saeb's analysis?
Well, I think the Saudis nationalized their oil industry 40 years ago, just as Iran did around the same time, or probably a little earlier than that. The influence, the strategic ties between the Saudi Arabia and the United States are based on, not on oil. The United States doesn't even buy much oil out of the Gulf anymore. anymore. It's based on Saudi and Emirati arms purchases from the United States. Remember about a year ago, Mohammed bin Salman was in the United States and he met with President Trump in the Oval Office, and they had that big chart of all the Saudi money going into the defense industries of so many American states. Well, that speaks volumes about American foreign policy and how amenable it is to financial manipulation.
Well, let's talk about that, Brian. You said financial manipulation, of course, but at the same time that you were just mentioning that deal, and of course it was an arms deal that these same arms now are being used against so many people around the world, but specifically we're talking about the Yemeni people. So how much of a responsibility does Washington have for what is happening in Yemen?
I think the United States and other powers that arm Saudi Arabia to fight a war that has humanitarian problems and it also has geopolitical problems. I don't see any point in pursuing this war. It's just killing people. If the Saudis win, they will be all the more stronger, and I don't see that as in the interest of the United States or Israel for that matter. Saudi Arabia is the wellspring of anti-Semitism, of anti-Israeli thinking. They're kind of chumming now because the Saudis think that they can get the United States and Israel on board in opposing Iran. The joke in American financial, in American geopolitical circles is the Saudis are eager to dominate the Gulf region and they don't care how many American lives it takes to accomplish that. That's a dark joke, but that's just what's going on here.
What about that analysis that you heard Brian say? Because many would say, actually, the sentence that Brian just used about basically the Saudis don't care how many American lives can get caught up in the war that they create. Many actually say the same thing about Israel in dealing with the United States. But the role of these two entities in general, your perspective in the situation in Yemen.
This is a war fought and led by the United States of America. This Saudis act according to instruction from the United States of America. The Americans, they the one who give the Saudis where the coordinates for their targets. The United States of America is refueling the Saudis air jet fighters in the skies of Yemen. Without the United States of America maintaining the blockade over Yemen. Without the United States of America, the Saudis couldn't fight this war for one day. They don't have a real military as we understand military, okay? So the same thing goes for the United Arab Emirates. These outfits are part of the United States of America's instrument in the region. And part they are, as Israel described itself, a kind of air carrier based in that direction of the Mediterranean.
So what does it mean, Saab? Sorry to jump in here. Saab, what does it mean exactly that on the one hand, you say the United States supports both Saudi Arabia in this war against the Yemeni people as well as the UAE, and now we have a situation where the UAE and Saudi Arabia is actually clashing. So your role, where do you see the role of Washington in this particular scuffle?
The Washington run the show to keep them two, not an alliance, in total alliance. They can have their infightings, but they're controlled by the United States of America. So they can milk more money out of them. So the Saudis want to appease the Americans more, the Emiratis, as we've seen the Qataris and the rest of them, by buying more weapons and giving more monies, while they are controlled by the United States of America. Another point, there is a huge alliance here between Saudi Arabia and Israel, okay? And there is an interest in controlling Yemen so Israel can have its own supplies coming from all around the world through the Red Sea. We remember in 1967 war, because Nasser of Egypt blocked that kind of route coming from Shah of Iran, go to Israel, the war started, the Red Sea. So this is a paramount region for Israel's survival. The United States of America and Israel and Saudi Arabia want to make sure that is the case. We don't want to forget what Donald Trump himself said after the news about Khashoggi, how important Saudi Arabia for the survival of Israel. He said, without the help and the support of Saudi Arabia, where are you going to take Israel? to the world. He said that.
Okay. And we're just about out of time, but Brian, your take on all of this. When the UAE wants a separatist southern state, the Saudis do not. Where do you see all of this going in Yemen in general?
Well, I think there's a lot of international opposition to Saudi Arabia. You see it in weaker forms in the United States, but I think the EU and other powers probably want to limit Saudi power, and they might back the United Arab Emirates in a diplomatic effort to stop the war. It's embarrassing to the EU powers that supply weapons, embarrassing but not something that they're going to say no to the money, but they would like to liquidate this war.
Okay.
And the Emiratis might be providing a way to do just that.
All right, Saab, your take, 1 minute.
The Saudis want to fill the gap as quickly in the south of Yemen, to use it as a launch pad against the Houthis in the north, and to prepare the ground for to save or to secure what they gained in Yemen while they're negotiating the future with the Houthis. It's a launch pad for them against the Houthis. That's what they see, while the Emiratis is trying to secure all what they achieved in Yemen, which means keeping the war going in Yemen and destroying the country.
And on that note, I'd like to thank both my guests, political commentator Brian Downing out of Fort Myers, Florida, and out of Belfast, Saab Chef, author and Middle East expert. And as always, viewers, it's a pleasure having you with us on another debate. Make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow for another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashimi signing out for the crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye for now.